It's time to learn all you can about buying, selling, financing, and developing real estate in today's market. Welcome to Mortgage Solutions with Tim Halliday, the show that provides you with the information you need when considering any real estate venture. Just sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and get your questions ready, because Tim will be helping you attain your goals in the complex world of real estate. Here's your host, Tim Halliday.
Welcome to Mortgage Solutions. I am your host, Tim Halliday. The purpose of this show is to educate you about real estate and real estate financing so you are better equipped to take on the largest transactions of your life. And I use the plural because I believe strongly that everybody should own more than one piece of real estate at a time. Real estate is one of those things that is so powerful from a tax strategy standpoint. It's powerful from a financial wealth building standpoint. It's a fantastic business. There's a ton of support available. There is some risk involved, but in my opinion, you know, the more education you get, the lower the risk. So to me, of course, I've been doing this 25 years, there's no risk involved in real estate, but of course, that's ridiculous. We know that a lot of people lost a lot of money in real estate, but I have to tell you, if they hung in there, they probably have gotten the vast majority of that back now. In the meantime, they were collecting rents and paying down the debt and everything else. So, you know, still a great business. What other business do you know that the value of your business can plummet through the floor and you're still collecting the same amount of money from the business that you did the day before when your business was worth, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50% more? So real estate's it. Super safe. All right. So we have been talking about how to make a decision. That's what we talked about last week. And it kind of in the general sense, how to make a decision. And then how to make a decision on your property, how to make a decision on which house to buy. So we focused on your criteria and potential criteria and how to actually narrow that down. So this week, we're going to talk about the process at Living Well Realty. And of course, you can apply this process to yourself. I always encourage people to use a professional that understands your needs, that understands the market, that understands a process, and that is an expert in the real estate and financial realm. Of course, that narrows it down to just my company. I'm just kidding. Maybe. So anyway, Living Well Realty and Victory Funding are our companies. And again, we're live in studio today. I always forget that little tidbit. 862-2373. Maureen is standing by to take your questions. If you have any, give us a call. 862-2373. She's really nice to talk to on the phone. She will not bite your head off. And I will do my best to answer your questions. So give her a call. She is standing at the ready. She also operates my board. So, you know, if you hear any funky sound effects, that's her fault. I mean, her responsibility. So anyway, so we have fun here at the show. That's for sure. So I'm glad you're listening today. So we're going to talk about how to narrow your decisions down. And honestly, I believe very firmly in the next 30 minutes, you are going to learn how to narrow the process down and help you find a house very quickly. Obviously, in business, the two things that I have to offer are my time and my reputation. Both of those things I take incredibly seriously. So that's not to say that I won't give you and my company, the people that work with me, won't give you 100% of our attention and every minute of time that you need. However, if we can teach you how to narrow your process down, narrow your focus down, and find a house quickly, that's good for you. And it's certainly good for us. So let's do that. Let's talk about that right now. First of all, everybody wants a good deal. So where do most people start looking for the best deal? Everybody thinks of one word, foreclosures. So we're going to talk about foreclosures. And but I've got to tell you, I want to broaden your horizons. Just to start with, your focus should not be foreclosures. Your focus should be, and here's the million-dollar word, here's what you pay literally $30,000, $40,000 for real estate courses. Here's the phrase that they're going to teach you for that much money, and you're getting it today for free. Motivated sellers. That's the key. Whether you're a homeowner looking for a good deal or you're an investor looking for a good deal, it's all about a motivated seller. If there is a motivated seller, there is probably a good deal there. Now, just because somebody's motivated doesn't mean they're able to sell for less than the property is worth. So we're going to talk about that as well. So let's talk about foreclosures. And the reason I backed up to the motivated sellers thing is foreclosures certainly qualify as motivated sellers. Well, the good news is so do a whole bunch of other things. So let me tell you, I'm going to give you the short version of foreclosures. And I could do probably a three-day seminar on this, but I'm going to give you the ultra thumbnail version. There are three times that you can buy a foreclosure the way that people traditionally think of foreclosures. First is from the seller while they're in foreclosure, okay? Property's in foreclosure. They've stopped making payments. The bank files what's called a lis pendens in the county clerk's office, and that notifies anybody that wants to purchase the property that there is a legal action taking place on the property. Now, if the seller owes more on the property than the property is worth, now that's a short sale. So it's the same thing. It's a foreclosure. It's in foreclosure, but they owe more than the property is worth. In that case, you have to get not only their approval, which is very easy because they don't care. If they're willing to sell it for less than is owed on it, they're going to sign whatever contract you put in front of them. The next and most difficult hurdle is the bank. So we're not doing a show on foreclosures and short sales today, but let me suffice it to say, for somebody who's looking for a home to purchase in a reasonable amount of time, I don't encourage you to look for short sales. Short sales can be very tedious. That doesn't mean I discourage you from looking at foreclosures at that stage. Okay, so that's the first time is you can buy it from the seller. The next opportunity you have to purchase a foreclosure is at the auction. So the property's gone all the way through the foreclosure process, and the bank has and the courts have allowed it to come to auction. Now the property is available to the public on a specific day at a specific location. Whoever wants that property shows up and bids on the property. So if you are the successful bidder, you need to have 10%, typically 10% cash that day, certified check. And then you have, usually it's 30, sometimes it's as much as 45 days to come up with the rest of the money. A little difficult to finance in that short time. We've done them. We can do them, especially if we're prepared to go to the auction. We can have some things prearranged. We can have your financing all in place. So if you have that 10%, that's a possibility. I will tell you what happens at auctions. I have been to dozens of them. The majority of the time, the first time they're published, they don't go on. And the reason for that is, somebody who's losing their home wakes up 3 days before their foreclosure auction and realizes they're going to lose their house because they've ignored it for the last 3 years that somebody's told them this was going to happen. And then they rush and find an attorney who will file a bankruptcy action that stalls the foreclosure. So everybody gets to the foreclosure auction and the attorney that's foreclosing on it, the referee says, sorry, they filed bankruptcy, or there's nobody there at all and you find out that they filed a bankruptcy proceeding and there's no auction. The other thing that happens at these auctions is that if it was a short sale situation, the bank shows up or a representative, and they have an opening bid that is far and away more than the property is worth. And so guess who gets the bid? The bank. So the bank that had the property, if that foreclosed on the property, wins the property at auction, and now they own it. Which brings us to our, and the other thing that can happen is it can actually be a good deal, but that's about 1 in 10, I would say, that actually that happens at an auction. So auctions are one of those things that if you've got a lot of time on your hands and a lot of loose cash, they're fun to go to when they happen. And sometimes they're a good deal. Other times, and it's very rare, by the way, that a homeowner or a representative for a homeowner will show up at these. It's almost always investors. So it's a great place for me to go and talk to my peers. I almost always know who's there, and we talk about it, and we, you know, mess around, and then one of us overpays for the property and we go on our merry way. So not a great place to buy property, but it's possible. So the third time you can buy what's called a foreclosure, it's no longer in foreclosure. The bank has purchased it and it is now a bank-owned property. So it's after the foreclosure. The bank has taken the property back. They go in and determine what the property is worth. They do a market analysis, usually through brokers, real estate brokers, give their opinion of value. I've done this for a number of banks for a number of years. And then the bank puts that property out on the open market. If it's in a great location a homeowner will pay 5 or 10% below what the property is worth and go in and do some paint and cosmetics, and they will get a great deal. So for a homeowner, it's a great opportunity. For an investor, unless it's if it's in a marginal area, you're taking a little bit of a risk. You may get a fantastic deal and be able to renovate that property and make a little bit of money on it. If it's in a terrible area, it's not always a great idea, because even if you get a ridiculously good deal, you still have to sell that. But for the investor, the best case scenario is the property is trashed and in a very good location. Most homeowners will stay away from those, but it's a great flip opportunity. Now, most investors are not patient enough or knowledgeable enough to successfully bid on those properties from a bank. We've done a number of them. My son has actually made a killing on a couple of them. So again, it's a great opportunity to buy property. So never shy away from bank-owned properties. We are experts at negotiating those for investors and for homeowners. So that's my mini foreclosure seminar for the day. Now we're going to talk about the rest of the motivated sellers. So estates, that is frequently a great place to purchase property. And here's why. Usually, if there are, the more heirs, the better, by the way. If there are four or five siblings, there's always one executor, so you're dealing with one person. However, the proceeds are getting split, let's say, five ways or four ways. Maybe there are four people that are going to get money. So if the property has a value of $200,000, everybody's getting 50 grand. Well, how happy do you think they would be to get there to get $45,000 6 months, or immediately, rather than $50,000 right away? Well, guess what? That $5,000 reduction is 20 grand to you. So you can frequently get great deals because each person, each heir, is only taking a little bit of a discount. But when you get those collectively, all of a sudden, you've saved $20,000, which is 10% of the value. So again, maybe they're getting 40 instead of 50. Now you're getting a property for 160 that's worth 200. Again, great deal, motivated seller. And estates are typically incredibly motivated to be sold because, again, everybody wants their money. Divorce situation, we're working on a transaction as we speak that is involved that way. And again, a potentially fantastic deal for our buyers. It's just time to get rid of it. They're willing to do whatever they have to do. And it's an unfortunate situation. But honestly, in all of these situations with motivated sellers, one of the things that I run into with buyers is that they feel bad. They feel bad for taking advantage of these people. You are not taking advantage of them. First of all, they're big boys and girls, and they have the ability to reject your offer. Second of all, you're helping them out. They haven't been able to sell it before, and you're making an offer to them that they're willing to accept. Even if they grumble, believe me, they will be thankful to you. When I was buying foreclosures full-time, that's all I was doing, was buying and selling foreclosures. The people that I bought them from were ecstatic to have somebody that would actually give them something. And usually what I did was, and this was before the time where they were all short sales, we would pay them what was owed on the property and give them a couple thousand dollars to go get an apartment. They were happy as a clam, and we were also happy because we got a good deal. So believe me, you are not the pariah if you're out there getting a good deal. You're helping these folks out, or they wouldn't have the property on the market to begin with. Another motivated seller is relocations. So relocating for a job, to be closer to family, or they're retiring. And depending on why they're relocating can determine to a great extent how motivated they are. But again, that's a great motivated seller. And that is an endless topic of motivated sellers. So I'm sure you can think of some scenarios on your own, maybe folks that you know that seem very motivated to sell. That's where you're going to find your good deals. So we're going to break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about our specific process. And I think that you are going to be enamored with this, and you'll see why it makes sense to come and see one of our professionals at Living Well Realty to get the job done. We'll be right back. As a Capital Region local for 22 years, I've been on all sides of the home buying and selling process. Buying several investment properties myself, I know what concerns you have, and I will not place you in a home that is more than you can afford. This is about what's right for you, not me. As a servant of the Lord, I am accountable to God Himself for every single thing that I do, including helping you into that new home. To be a good steward, I'm not only a registered mortgage broker, but a licensed real estate broker as well. With 20 plus years of experience, I will help you through the entire process. I disclose all of the standard fees up front to make sure there are no surprises at your closing. Call me for any of your mortgage needs today at 899-7700. That's 899-7700.
Victory Funding is a New York State registered mortgage broker. All loans through third-party providers.
Welcome back to Mortgage Solutions. I'm your host, Tim Halliday. We are live in studio today, 862-2373, 862-2373. If you have any questions whatsoever, give me a call, and I will do my best to answer your questions. All right, so we're going to talk about our process. Now, one of the things that I always share with my buyers is you have to be in the right frame of mind to be able to buy a house. And now what I mean when I say that isn't that you have to have a need to buy. It's that you have to understand A, the process, and B, that the right house, and we talked about this last week, will kind of jump out at you. So here's why our process works. The other thing that I want to share is that this process can happen very, very quickly. So most people, when they go out and look at their first set of properties, they have no intention of pulling the trigger. That is completely the wrong mindset. And the reason I say that is that when we do a search for you, okay, we're gonna narrow that search to probably 30 to 50 listings. That's a lot of houses, okay? And you're gonna go through those listings electronically, and you're gonna eliminate probably at least half of them. Let's say you get down to 15 houses, okay? Those are all houses that you really like for whatever reason. Now, before that even has happened, you've given us a very specific criteria that we talked about last week. So the number of bedrooms, the location, the near the school that you like, blah, 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 on and on and on, right? So we've narrowed your search down to that. And so those are the only houses that you're going to get. Then you're going to get that big chunk of houses. You're going to eliminate a bunch of them. The kitchen's too small. The bathrooms are too small. The master bedroom's not big enough. The living room's too big. There's an extra room I don't know what to do with, whatever the problem is. So you're going to eliminate a bunch of those. Then you're going to be left with 15 or 20 houses. Those 15 or 20 houses, you're then going to drive by. So you're going to drive by, and some of them you're going to say, this is a terrible neighborhood, or you know what, I love the neighborhood, but I'm right next door to the guy that's got three RVs and a mobile home, you know, in his backyard. I'm not dealing with that. You know, whatever the case is, you're going to drive by all those houses, and you're probably going to be left with 3 to 5 houses that you really like, and 2 or 3 of them are going to be your absolute favorites. Now, you have never walked inside of a house. You haven't set foot. You haven't started looking at a house, right? No, that's not true. You've eliminated 45 houses that you're not interested in. You've looked at them online. You've looked at pictures. You've driven through neighborhoods. You've actually gained a ton of experience, but you're right. You haven't set foot inside a house yet. But when that day comes where you're actually going out to look at properties, you're going to walk through the door of those 3 to 5 properties, and one of them you're going to say, oh, this is nice. I like this. And then your other brain is going to kick in, and you're going to argue with yourself, and you're going to figure out why you shouldn't make an offer on that. And the excuse that you come up with 99% of the time is, well, I'm just getting started. I haven't looked at enough houses. And I will just tell you, and I tell this story to every single buyer that we work with, and I make sure my agents tell the story. Had a buyer, and this is not the only buyer that I've had that experienced this, but this one particular buyer was such a classic example. I went through this scenario with her. We talked about this. She was all on board, ready to go. We went out and showed her houses, and sure enough, the first time we looked at houses, there was the perfect house. It was the right layout. It was the right location. It was actually over-improved, so it was in the $140,000, $150,000 range, and it had granite countertops and stainless steel appliances, and it was things that you don't see in that price range that were in this house. It was perfectly maintained. It was immaculate. It was a great house. We encouraged her to make an offer. She took 6 days. She had to see other houses, which we showed her. She had to talk to her parents, which she did. Her parents walked through the property. So on day 6, after we've been begging her to make this offer, she made an offer, and it was too late. Somebody had already put the house under contract because they recognized it was the right house. So that same buyer we worked with for an additional 6 months. And guess what she ended up buying? She ended up buying the same style, the same layout house in the same location without all the over improvements for the same price. So she got $20,000 less house for the same price because she didn't pull the trigger on day one. So just keep that in mind. And again, you are experienced. By the time you walk through the door of that first house, you've looked at 40, 50 houses. And let's be honest, by the time you call a real estate agent, you have probably been online and seen every house that's available. And many of you have already driven by a bunch of them before you figure out, hey, I need somebody to represent me, which is always a great idea, by the way. You should be represented. So that's where we are right now. So the next step after the motivated seller is you're going to employ a qualified realtor to send you listings that fit your criteria. Buyer's agent versus seller's agent. So let me talk to you about this. If you are calling on listings that you see in the MLS or you see on Zillow or Trulia or Realtor.com or whatever, fillintheblank.com, you are talking to the agent that listed the property most of the time. That agent's sworn duty, by the way, their legal obligation, not just kind of, their legal obligation is to work as hard as they can for the seller of the property. That is not you. You are the buyer. So they are obligated to do their best for the seller, and you are operating under the Latin phrase caveat emptor, which means buyer beware. So you have no representation. It's like going to court without a lawyer, not even a free lawyer, no lawyer. Like, I'm going to use the person who's suing me, I'm going to use their lawyer because they're here. That's not a good idea. Neither is it a good idea to call on the listing agent and help them help you buy that house. They have no obligation to do their best. They have an obligation to be fair and ethical, but when it comes to negotiating, they're trying to get the highest price they can get for their seller. That's their job. And if you're not represented, you're not represented. So the good news is, when you're represented by a buyer's agent, the seller already paid for it. So it's kind of like going to court with the seller's attorney, but you get your own attorney, but the seller gets to pay. Isn't that nice? So that happens sometimes too, right? Well, it can always happen in real estate. You need a buyer's agent because the buyer's agent, just like the seller's agent, is legally obligated to operate in your best interest. The legal term is they have a fiduciary obligation to operate in your best interest. That's a legal obligation. It's not like a hope or somebody's policy. It's the law. So if you have a buyer's agent that's not working in your best interest, they're breaking the law. So hire a buyer's agent. We would love you to hire us at Living Well Realty, but honestly, hire a buyer's agent, no matter who it is. So you've got a buyer's agent, you're working with us, now we're going to set you up with the most powerful search engine. Now, that sounds ridiculous, right? Well, every website's got a search engine, including my own. Even Living Well Realty has a powerful search engine, and I'm not going to tell you that's the search engine I'm going to hook you up with. No, we're going to hook you up directly to the MLS, and there are ways that we do that that I haven't seen any other agents use, and I'm sure there are other agents that use this, but I don't know them. So we're going to hook you up with a search that's direct to the MLS. That means from a timing standpoint, you are going to get listings real time. So if you've been in this process before, you probably realize that when you call on a listing, you may find that it's already under contract. Well, it's been under contract for 3 days, or it's been under contract for 7 days. The reason for that is the websites that are out there, including my own, operate kind of like the old style radar screen, where you have a blip and then you see the line go all the way around, and when it hits the blip again, it's in a different place. So that's how the search engines on the internet work, but you're using the MLS. And the reason they work that way is because they can't possibly be real time to the MLS. They sweep through the MLS and pick up the new data every so often, and that can be 3 days, 7 days, sometimes it's 10 days out of date. When you hook directly to the MLS, if your search criteria fits a listing, you get it that minute. So if I hit the submit button on a listing and it fits your criteria, it goes into your inbox in your personal website that we set up for you real time. It is an insanely powerful tool because when something comes on the market that's brand new, which we'll talk about in a minute, you are the first ones to see it if you're looking at your website. All right, so you can eliminate a lot of headaches by doing that. All right, so now you've hired us, we've got your search set up, you're going to take your big list, narrow it down, you're going to drive by the remaining, and then you're going to want to see 3 to 5, and you're going to go look at those. Now, here's the other truth. If you don't pull the trigger on that, those are your favorite of your favorite of your favorite. Remember, we've narrowed this down. 50 houses, these are the three that you wanted to see. If it's not one of those houses, then we have to start over again, and something in your search has to change. We have to compromise something. So that could be as basic as going up in price. Maybe nothing that you saw is the quality you want. So we have to go from, you know, 160 to 180,000 and then see what we capture in that. Maybe it's a different area. Maybe it's one less garage space. Whatever it is, it's going to be a compromise. So if you choose to do nothing, then you're waiting for that next property to come on the market that fits your criteria. And we have buyers that do that, and that's okay. If you don't want to compromise your criteria, you can wait for that house as long as it's realistic. You know, if you're waiting for granite countertops and you're looking for a $100,000 house, you're going to be waiting a long time. You may get I don't know what you're going to get. You're not going to get granite. So that's the key. Buyers sometimes tell me the specific criteria they're looking for, and then they call me 3 times a week with, why didn't this show up in my criteria? Well, it's 2 miles outside of the area you said you wanted to be in, or it's in the wrong school district, or it's X, Y, or Z. So you have to be very proactive with what your search includes. And if you're looking outside that search, you have to tell us so that we can modify that. If you do those things, I can guarantee that you will successfully be able to find the right property at the right price with Living Well Realty. So we are super happy. Got a little ding from Maureen there. We like that. We are super happy to help you and serve you every single day. Give us a call. Again, that number is 899-5000, 899-5000, and we will be happy to set you up. First thing we're going to do is pre-qualify you at Victory Funding, 899-7700, and then we're going to set you up with a search and set you up as a buyer and help you find the real estate that you are looking for, and we're always happy to do that. This is Tim Halliday reminding you to renew your mind daily, stay positive, and be a blessing to those God puts you in contact with. Remember, your attitude and your actions are your choice. May God richly bless you. Thanks for listening today. We'll continue this conversation next week right here on Mortgage Solutions.
To start the process of buying a home, investing in real estate, or obtaining a mortgage for purchase or refinance, call the offices of Victory Funding today at 899-7700. That's 899-7700. Victory Funding is a New York State registered mortgage broker with offices in Malta, New York. NMLS number 49846. All loans are through third-party providers.